Let's bring in here now Nathan Lynch, the Manager of Regulatory Intelligence at Thomson Reuters. Now, he specialises in particular in anti-money laundering and also risk management. He joins me now. Nathan, many thanks for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Ross.
Okay, so we've heard a little bit about what might have taken place, but also some of the extremes in terms of the case studies, the customers that AUSTRAC has identified. But just in a nutshell, try and explain, why is it that Westpac got itself into this jam? Why is it that it was not reporting to AUSTRAC over such a long period of time?
Yeah, look, I mean, it sounds hard. It sounds difficult to understand how a bank could miss 23 million plus breaches, but these are big, complex organisations and they put a huge volume of transactions through the bank each day. So when something goes wrong in their back end systems, the scale of the problem can just escalate so quickly. In this case, you know, they were providing third party accounts, so correspondent banking accounts, to banks overseas, and they were allowing them to operate those accounts directly. What that meant was that, you know, they couldn't really see what was going on there, and those banks on-let those accounts to their customers. So funds were effectively moving in and out of Australia, but it looked like an internal bank transfer, and that's why so many bits of financial intelligence simply weren't getting reported.
Is there also some truth that suggestions are that they didn't use the SWIFT system, which is a more expensive system, because each transaction would have been an individual transaction? In fact, these were being done as batches. And because they were batches, they were certainly more efficient from the bank's point of view. But the truth of the matter was, it meant that what was inside those individual batches was hidden, not only potentially from Westpac, but also from AUSTRAC, the anti-money laundering regulator.
That is exactly how it worked. So they were offering products called the Australasian Cash Management product and another one called Light Pay. And these products effectively gave you a more cost-effective way to move money for your customers. The challenge there is that, as you say, Ross, SWIFT wasn't getting the information. So SWIFT has a complicated framework in place for reporting this type of data to minimise financial crime and terrorist financing and nuclear sanctions, proliferation risk, these sorts of issues. But by doing it the way that it was being done, all of that data was being lost because, as we said before, they just looked like book transfers that were happening within Westpac's own accounts between fairly low-risk parties, which are two banks transacting together.
So if I really drill down to the bottom line of this, the question is whether these sanctions and the potential penalty, which could be more than $1 billion, could come down to penny pinching, that in actual fact, by not using the proper SWIFT system, by using that batch system that we've described, that in actual fact, Westpac was not only trying to make its life easier, but also trying to make its transactions cheaper, that it will cost it many hundreds of millions of dollars potentially as a result of the penalties.
Yes, and you know, banks always have to, you know, they're commercial operations, so they have to tread a fine line between being compliant and meeting all of their legal and community expectations and also, you know, delivering dividends to shareholders and super funds and all the rest of it. So, you know, it's difficult to be too hard on a bank that's trying to find more efficient ways to do things. The key issue is that that can't be done at the expense of your fundamental financial crime obligations. So, you know, in this case, that was lost, that was missed. But arguably more concerning from AUSTRAC's perspective is the fact that when it was identified, the investment wasn't made. That's what they're alleging. So they're alleging that, you know, the remediation wasn't done, the systems weren't put in place quickly enough, and the breaches were ongoing over an extensive period of time.
Okay, just a really simple one for you. Who inside the bank should have known about this? I mean, should have it been the chief executive? Should have it been the board? Who should have actually understood what was taking place and where were the mistakes made?
Oh, well, this comes back to the kind of governance issues that APRA pointed out in its CBA culture report. So it comes back to risk culture. And, you know, Westpac did really well through the Royal Commission. It's fair to say, you know, Brian Hartzell put on a sterling performance. So Westpac's always been regarded as a bank with a really robust risk culture. But, you know, everyone can get this wrong. So this is why you need all of those things in place that the APRA review pointed out, and that includes checks and balances and a third line of defence where you've got strategic audit happening. So, you know, a well-resourced risk and compliance function is an organisation's best defence against this. And what boards are now starting to realise is that they're on the hook for this. Senior management and boards are ultimately responsible for the organisation's conduct. So I think we're going to see a lot of boards suddenly realising that, you know, the risk function is not the business prevention unit or a cost centre. It's protecting them from potential personal and organisational liabilities.
Yeah, and indeed, the chief executive of Westpac at the media conference he held via the phone today was asked whether he should take the ultimate responsibility. Here's just a little of that.
Why do you think you're the appropriate person to work through this, given what we've seen today? Why shouldn't you resign, and have you offered your resignation to the chair?
I have made a number of significant changes in the management of this risk over time, including significant changes to the people, the structure, the resources we put around all these these issues. They are complex. We are working through them. I'm committed to seeing that through and making sure we fix it properly, and it'll never happen again.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, Nathan, as to where the buck stops at Westpac, whether it does stop with the chief executive or whether he is seen to be the answer to it, but there's no doubt that this has happened very much during his term. It's his bailiwick. Ultimately, he's going to have to own this one.
Yeah, look, and he's sending the right messages. So I think the industry as a whole has learnt a lot from the mistakes that Commonwealth Bank made when it was handling its own regulatory woes 2 years ago. So, you know, we're seeing immediate accountability. Already, AUSTRAC has made it very clear that Westpac is working with them. It's collaborating. There was a high level of self-reporting. So that's, you know, that's really the focus here. We've got to bear in mind that Westpac and the other big four banks, they're probably the strongest partners that AUSTRAC has in its mandate to fight financial crime and terrorism in Australia. So, you know, they want to maintain that relationship. Westpac's a really strong partner in the FinTel Alliance. So I think the focus will be on improving that going forward.
Good stuff. Thank you so much. Nathan Lynch is the Manager of Regulatory Intelligence with Reuters and also a specialist in anti-money laundering. And Nathan, I appreciate your time here on the program this evening.
Thanks so much for having me, Ross.